Today is the 8th day of December. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, like I have been every day. Every day for 20 years. Maybe I should change my name. What would it be? What would my name be? I think I have to stay with my given name. I'm Brian. And I'm grateful to be here with you today as we continue our journey through the scriptures and through the month of December, a very, very fast-paced month. So it's going to be an ending today and a beginning and an ending today. That's the kind of fast pace that we're doing, at least in the scriptures. And so we will conclude the book of Hosea today. And then we will begin and read in its entirety and end the book of Jude today in the New Testament. And we'll talk about that when we get there. But let's dive into the conclusion of the book of Hosea today, chapters 10 through 14. Israel was a spreading vine. He produced fruit for himself. The more fruit he produced, the more altars he made. The richer the land became, the richer he made his sacred memorial stones. Their hearts are insincere, so now they will suffer for their guilt. The Lord will break down their altars and destroy their sacred memorial stones. Certainly now they will say, "We have no king because we did not fear the Lord. But what could such a king do for us anyway?" They speak empty words. With empty oaths they make agreements. That is why disputes sprout like poisonous weeds in the furrows of a field. The inhabitants of Samaria will be terrified because of the calf of Beth Aven. Yes, its people will mourn over it. And its idolatrous priests will cry out over its lost glory because it has gone into exile. It will be carried to Assyria as tribute to the great king. Ephraim will be gripped with shame, and Israel will be ashamed of its own idol. Samaria, like her king, will be carried off, like a twig on the surface of the water. The high places of Aven, the sin of Israel, will become unusable. Thorns and thistles will grow on their altars. They will say to the mountains, "Cover us," and to the hills, "Fall on us." Israel, you have sinned ever since the days of Gibeah, where the evildoers took their stand. The war against the evildoers caught up with them at Gibeah, did it not? When I see fit, I will discipline them. Peoples will be gathered against them to bind them for their double guilt. Ephraim is a trained heifer that loves to thresh. I will put a yoke on her beautiful neck. I will harness Ephraim. Judah will plow. Jacob will break up the ground. Sow righteousness for yourselves and reap mercy. Break up your fallow ground. It is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of your lies because you trusted in your own way, in the large number of your strong warriors. Therefore, the roar of battle will rise against your people, and all your fortresses will be destroyed. As Shalaman devastated Beth Arbel on the day of battle. Mothers were dashed to the ground with their children. This is what will be done to you, Beto, because of your great wickedness. At dawn, the king of Israel will be completely destroyed. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more I called to them, the more they went away from me. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning incense to idols. Yet I was the one who taught Ephraim to walk, I took them in my arms, but they did not realize that it was I who healed them. I drew them with cords suitable for a man, with ropes of love. For them I became like someone who lifts a yoke off their neck, and I bend down to feed them. They will not return into the land of Egypt. Instead, an Assyrian will be their king, because they refused to repent. The sword will slash against their cities. It will destroy the bars of their gates, and it will devour them because of their plans. My people are determined to turn away from me. Though they call him the Most High, he certainly will not exalt them. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Adma? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart is changed inside me. All my compassion is stirred up. I will not carry out my burning anger. I will not destroy Ephraim again, because I am God and not man, the Holy One among you. I will not enter a city. They will follow the Lord. He will roar like a lion. Yes, he will roar, and his children will come trembling from the west. They will come trembling like a bird from Egypt, and like a dove from the land of Assyria. I will settle them in their houses, declares the Lord. Ephraim surrounds me with falsehood, and the house of Israel with deceit. Judah still strays from God, even from the Holy One who is faithful. Ephraim feeds on wind and chases the east wind all day. He multiplies lies and violence. They make a treaty with Assyria, and olive oil is carried to Egypt. The Lord has a case against Judah. He will deal with Jacob according to his ways. According to his deeds, he will repay him. In the womb, Jacob grasped his brother by the heel. And when he was a grown man, he struggled with God. He wrestled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He found him at Bethel, and there he spoke with him, namely with the Lord, the God of armies. The Lord is the name by which he is to be remembered. So return to your God. Observe mercy and justice, and wait for your God continually. A merchant has fraudulent scales in his hand. He loves to defraud others. Ephraim said, "Surely I have become rich. I have secured wealth for myself. Among all my possessions, no one will find anything that makes me guilty of sin. But I have been the Lord your God from the time you left the land of Egypt. I will make you dwell in tents again, as in the days of the appointed festival. I have spoken to the prophets. I have given numerous visions. I taught meaningful lessons through the prophets. Since Gilead is wicked, it is certain that they are worthless. In Gilgal, they sacrifice bulls. Yes, their altars are like piles of stones in the furrows of a field. Jacob fled to the territory of Aram. Israel worked as a servant to get a wife, and for a wife he took care of sheep. By a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet he took care of Israel. Ephraim has provoked bitter anger. Therefore his Lord will leave him bloodied by his guilt and bring his disgrace back on him." When Ephraim spoke, people would tremble. He was highly honored in Israel, but he became guilty through worshiping Baal, so he died. Now they sin more and more. They make cast images for themselves, idols skillfully made from their silver, all of them the work of craftsmen. It is said about them, "The ones who sacrifice are humans who kiss calves." Therefore they will be like morning mist and like early dew that passes away. like chaff that is blown away from the threshing floor, and like smoke from a chimney. But I have been the Lord your God since you left the land of Egypt. You must not acknowledge any god except me. There is no savior except me. I took care of you in the wilderness, in a land burned by drought. When they had pasture, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, their hearts became arrogant. That is why they have forgotten me. So I will be like a lion to them. Like a leopard, I will lurk along the path. I will come upon them like a bear robbed of her cubs. I will tear the cover off their hearts. Then I will devour them like a lioness. The wild animals will rip them apart. This is what has destroyed you, Israel. The fact that you are against me, against your helper. So where is your king, so that he may save you in all your cities, and your judges, whom you requested, saying, "Give me a king and officials"? I gave you a king in my anger, and I took him away in my wrath. The guilt of Ephraim is wrapped up. His sin is stored up. Labor pains will come for him, but he is not a wise son. For when the time arrives, he is not ready to be born. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Death, where are your plagues? Grave, where is your destruction? Compassion will be hidden from my eyes. Although he flourishes as a son among brothers, an east wind will come. The breath of the Lord is coming up from the wilderness. His spring will become dry. His fountain will be dried up. His treasury will be plundered of every precious article. Samaria will be found guilty because she rebelled against her God. The people will fall by the sword. Their little children will be dashed to the ground, and their pregnant women will be ripped open. Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your guilt. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, "Forgive all our guilt and receive us graciously, and let us present the fruit of our lips as bowls. Assyria cannot save us. We will not ride on horses. We will no longer call the work of our hands our gods. For in you the fatherless child finds compassion. I will cure them of their unfaithfulness. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be refreshing like dew to Israel. It will blossom like a lily. It will take root like a cedar of Lebanon. Its young shoots will sprout. Its beauty will be like an olive tree. Its fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. Those who live in Israel's shade will once again grow grain. They will blossom like a grapevine. Its fame will be like the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim, how much more do I have to put up with from idols? I am the one who has answered, and I look after him. I am like a fresh fir tree. Your fruit comes from me. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is discerning? Let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous walk in them, but the rebellious stumble in them. Okay, so we have read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Brings us to the second to the last book in the New Testament. The letter or epistle of Jude. And it's 25 verses long. And we're going to read the whole thing today. And it may sound a little bit familiar. There are many, many biblical scholars that accept the idea that 2 Peter imitates Jude's letter. And so if this is true, then Jude's letter predates 2 Peter. And that would be dated to the mid-60s, probably. If that's not the case, then the letter could be from as late as the end of Jude's life. And that would make it maybe around 80 AD. Interesting stuff, but probably a more important question is, who is Jude? And that has also been a major question throughout church history, continuing until today, being examined among scholars to the present. We can't get into all the nuances. If we move into the direction of like a consensus, the traditional view, the majority view of scholars agree that the Jude who wrote this letter is the brother of James and the brother of Jesus, like Jesus the Lord. And so although he's a brother, he actually wasn't an apostle in the same way James wasn't. He didn't believe in Jesus during his ministry. It's not clear exactly who this letter is addressed to. Jude says he's writing to everyone who has been called by God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. Well, that's everybody. Like, that could be basically anybody, ever. And so, it's not unreasonable to say that it's written to us, because that applies to us. If there are really truly similarities between 2 Peter and Jude, and there are, and if those are correct, then Jude was likely writing to the same people Peter was writing to, for the same kind of encouragement. And these were displaced believers who had had to flee because of marginalization and persecution, or who had been exiled in generations past when the kingdoms fell to Assyria and Babylon. Jude says this, and so we know this. He was planning on writing a letter, but a completely different letter. He says, like, I had been eagerly planning to write you about the salvation we share, but I have to write about something else. I have to write you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. So the issue here is a widespread teaching about God's grace, one that ends up being addressed in many times in many letters throughout the New Testament. So this is a really significant teaching that is significantly opposed. So what's going on here is that there's this teaching that the grace of God, there's like no way to earn that. What God has bestowed upon us has been given in grace, like unmerited favor. That's what grace is. Something that was not earned was given, which has always been a core understanding in the Christian faith until today. This is a gift, not something that is earned, like a wage. That's the way Paul would put it. Like, if you earn it, then you deserve it. And we do not deserve anything like grace from God. It's grace. It's mercy. So some began to twist the concept and exploit the concept and say, okay, like, well, we can't earn it. It's just given. And so we can do whatever we want. We can't earn it. We can do whatever we want. We can do whatever we want with whoever we want, whenever we want. Because Jesus took care of sin and fulfilled the law. So that's done. and we could never earn God's grace by good works anyway. That is just given as a gift. So, whatever we want, with whoever we want, whenever we want. Jude is like significantly clear that that is false. He is very opposed to that teaching throughout the bulk of the letter. And it's not as if this kind of behavior isn't still with us. It's even if we know better, it's not as if this behavior isn't still with us. This doesn't really matter to God, and he'll just forgive us as long as we confess our sins. So we can do whatever we want, with whoever we want, whenever we want, no matter the damage that we are doing and destroying other people's lives. Jude is warning clearly that that path is a dead end. And in closing, Jude instructs the believers to remember that false teachings, they were predicted, and that the followers of Jesus have to build each other up and stay together through the power of the Holy Spirit. And their posture through those who had been deceived was caution and mercy. And so this is the final stop before we move into the final book of the Bible, which is the book of Revelation, and that will move us to the end of the year and in completely different directions. And so let's remember what these letters, moving through Paul, to Peter, to John, to Jude, have told us. This story of grace is true, but it comes when we enter into a covenant, like a bond, a vow, a relationship that brings it to us. It does matter what we do, when we do it, with whom we do it. Because every one of our actions are a statement about what our faith really is, whether or not it's even there. And so let's pay attention to the book of Jude. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you concerning the salvation we share, I felt it was necessary for me to write to urge you to continue to contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once and for all. For certain individuals slipped in secretly, about whom it was written some time ago that they are condemned. They are ungodly people who turn the grace of our God into a license for sin and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. I want to remind you, though you already know all these things, that after the Lord rescued his people out of the land of Egypt, he later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their position of authority but left their own dwelling place behind, God has kept them in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Like Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, who in a similar way indulged in extreme sexual immorality and pursued homosexual perversion, they serve as an example of those who are going to suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Yet, in the very same way, these dreamers are defiling the flesh, despising authority, blaspheming glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael was disputing with the devil and arguing about the body of Moses, he did not dare to bring a blasphemous condemnation against him. Instead, he said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people do not understand what they are blaspheming. They are being destroyed by the very things they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. Woe to them! They have gone the way of Cain. They have abandoned themselves for hire to the error of Balaam. They perished in Korah's rebellion. These people are filthy stains on your love feasts when they eat with you without fear, shepherding themselves. They are clouds without rain, being driven along by the winds. They are autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. They are wild waves of the sea, piling up the foam of their own shame. They are wandering stars, for whom the gloom of darkness has been reserved for eternity. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, also prophesied about these people, saying, "Look, the Lord is going to come with tens of thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment against all of them and to convict every soul concerning all their ungodly deeds, which they did in an ungodly way, and concerning all the harsh words that ungodly sinners spoke against him. These are discontented grumblers who walk according to their lusts, and their mouths speak boastful things as they flatter others to take advantage of them. But you, dear friends, remember the words that were spoken earlier by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last time there will be scoffers who follow their own ungodly lusts.' These are the people who cause divisions. They are worldly because they do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, continue to build yourselves up in your most holy faith as you keep praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you continue to wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which results in eternal life. Show mercy to those who are wavering. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. Show mercy to still others with fear, hating even the clothing that is stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless in the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all time, now, and to all eternity. Amen." Psalm 127. The Lord builds the house. The Song of Ascents by Solomon. If the Lord does not build the house, it is useless for the builders to work hard over it. If the Lord does not watch over the city, it is useless for the watchman to stand guard. It is useless for you to get up early and to work late, worrying about bread to eat, because God grants sleep to the one he loves. Indeed, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward from him. Sons born during one's youth are like arrows in the hand of a warrior. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. they will not be put to shame when they dispute with enemies at the city gates. Proverbs 29:15-17. A rod used for discipline gives wisdom, but an undisciplined child disgraces his mother. When the wicked increase, sin increases, but the righteous will see their downfall. Discipline your son and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your soul. God, Father, we thank you. We thank you again for another day and for all of the different territory that we are moving in and out of, all the different textures and complexions, all the different kinds of narrative, all the different kinds of language. And once again, we invite Holy Spirit, come and lead us to what needs to land in our lap. What needs to speak to us in our dynamic right now in our lives? We invite you because you are always there leading and guiding. You are always available. We are rarely paying attention. We're paying attention now. We're asking that you use your word to illuminate our path and give us clarity. And we believe in these things and in their realities. And so come, Holy Spirit, and lead us into all truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. And this is where to be connected and find out what's going on around here. Christmas, right? Christmas is what's going on around here. So we're getting ready and geared up for our annual Daily Audio Bible Family Christmas. And we just, at Thanksgiving, did campfire stories, and that was just remarkably beautiful. The annual Christmas party is equally as beautiful. So make sure that you call in and lend your voice. Just call in your holiday greetings to the community that you've been traveling with this year. And you do that by hitting the hotline button in the app or dialing 877-942-4253. Obviously, that is the prayer request and encouragement lines. And so just a couple of guidelines. Don't call in a prayer request or encouragement and a holiday greeting in the same call. Keep those separate. And then just call in one holiday greeting, like it's 2 minutes long, and you can say a lot in that amount of time. Other than that, can't wait to hear your beautiful voice, and can't wait to hear your beautiful stories of moving through the scriptures in community this year. And so make sure you jump in and participate in that. It's Christmas time around here, so a couple of things. Christmas music. Daily Audio Bible has some of that. Wherever you stream music, if you look for my name, Brian Harden, you'll find the Family Christmas album. Very beautiful. Loved making that record. Loved trying to imagine making a Christmas record that was the kind of record you listen to when you turn off the lights and just leave the Christmas lights on. And just kind of sit there and take it all in. And so Family Christmas is available. Maxwell, our son, has created a Christmas album that we released as well called Christmas Time. So Maxwell Harden, look for that. And then Jill has some Christmas music as well. So wherever you stream music, incorporate some of that into your holiday season, and bring the global campfire close, bring it near as we move through this really beautiful, warm, festive season of the year. Also, the Daily Audio Bible Christmas Box It is annual, is available. This is a very, very annual tradition, full of all the kinds of things that we put in the Christmas box. And you can see all of that at dailyaudiobible.com in the shop. Or if you are using the app, just press the drawer icon in the upper left-hand corner and you'll find the shop in there. So check all that out. That's available in the Daily Audio Bible shop. And if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you profoundly, truly, humbly, gratefully. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you are using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And as we were just talking about, call in your holiday greeting in the same way at the same place. And that is it for today. Other than to tell you, I love you. I mean it. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Good evening, dear Daily Audio Bible family. This is Betty calling from Hamburg, New York. And I'm phoning today especially to say a big thank you to Sheena from Saskatchewan. I heard your beautiful prayer for myself and for my son on November 29th. I love the message of Psalms 40, verse 1 to 3. You sure hit it on the head when you talked about the stress. Nathan had hit a pretty big low at the end of his six-week trip. He was living in his car in Pennsylvania, and he ran out of resources, had no phone, and his car was finally impounded. We found him through a Facebook post, and my son-in-law went down to PA to bring him home again. He is doing better. We're praying that he will continue to get his medication. Tomorrow's a big day, so thank you for your continued prayers. I am so, so grateful for your prayers and for being there and for hearing us here in New York. I'm also thinking of others who, like me, know the challenges of having a loved one with mental illness, especially lifting up Brian with his son Mitch and the challenges and struggles. May you also feel God's mighty hand at work, like he was with Nathan in Pennsylvania, so totally destitute, but yet God was there. Thank you so much, family. It's amazing when you actually feel like you're heard. I know God hears us, but when others hear you as well, it just touches your heart in an amazing way. God bless you all. Have a beautiful day.
Good evening, Daily Audio Bible family. It's Soaring on Eagle's Wings from Canada. And Rebecca, I heard you today. You're talking about being unsure of having the amount for your rent. Oh, Rebecca, my heart goes out to you because, you know, you're torn between two roads, to go closer to your job, but if you do, you're leaving your parents, so you don't know what to do. So let me pray for you. Abba, Father, you've heard Rebecca time and time again. You know her heart. She has such a soft heart for others. And for her parents too. She doesn't want to leave them because her dad isn't well. You know, so even though it would be cheaper on gas if she were at her work site, close to her work site, it wouldn't be good for her parents. And now this thing about the rent, oh God, I'm asking you this evening hour that you would bring forth a miracle where she's not expecting to find money. Suddenly everything will be straightened out. You know what she needs. You know she's only asking because She really needs it. And you are her Abba, the one who said she could call on you. Would you hear her prayer and help her to decide about should she stay or should she move?
Oh, hello, Daily Audio Bible. Just wanted to thank particularly Winnie B for her prayer for my mother-in-law. It's John from the UK, by the way. Winnie B's prayer was back on the 6th of September, and she prayed for my mother-in-law, and the point she made was that if she hadn't passed, that she would be at great peace, and that the family would be. And just to let you know, she passed away to heaven just a couple of days after that, on the 9th. And the family were around her, and she had much prayer. And her father-in-law definitely was very strong in his faith right through, and has been strong ever since. And the funeral was such a blessing. Her son took the funeral and took the opportunity to invite everyone to get to know Jesus, because a funeral obviously is a good time for us all to reflect on our short time here, and to be ready for getting to know Jesus and to be with all the followers in heaven. So anyway, just thought I'd encourage Winnie B for her prayer, and thank you all. P.S. My daughter Hannah is doing very well in her art course and everything like that, and making friends. But just pray for her faith, that she would really, you know, firm up her faith, because she did put on the form. She wasn't sure what she believed. So just pray that her faith will come back to her. Our other two children are making a stand as Christians. My wife's doing a lot better. And so thank you all for your prayers anyway. Bless you all. And okay, till next time. Bye-bye.
Hello, DAB family. This is Lynn, who loves the Lord, calling in with a prayer request for my nephew and his wife. Their marriage is having some challenges right now, especially regarding one child in the family. This child has some challenging behaviors with anger issues and possibly on the spectrum. We're not sure. But she seems to be trying to cause a wedge between the couple. They are a Christian couple, and I believe they are getting some professional counseling. My family member has asked that I pray with her against any evil demonic forces that are at work to split up this couple. I'm asking that you, my dad family, pray along with me against any evil regarding this family and their marriage in Jesus' holy, mighty name. And let's also lift up all the marriages in our dad family. As we know, marriage is very challenging and not easy some days, and we need your help, dear Lord. So we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.